There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Decisions. I am Gable Morenci. We're throwing it down with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart. We are on the grid, and so are you right now. We'll be kicking it with you for the next 3 hours. It's all about baseball tonight as the Atlanta Braves take one step closer to the National League Championship Series after beating the Miami Marlins again. Meanwhile, the Houston Astros, who were down 4-2, have exploded, taking a 7-4 lead in this baseball game. And, Cam, the Astros are a couple of innings away from advancing to the American League Championship Series. And I get the feeling there's still a lot of baseball left to be played between the Rays and the Yankees. It would really give Houston an opportunity to get a couple of days rest. And we talked about Oakland not having a killer instinct once they get to the playoffs. And right now Oakland are being exposed in a big way.
They sure are, Gabe. And what have we known about this series? Oakland has a lead that they give away. Again, they were playing great in this game, up 4-2. You know, Lizardo made a couple bad
plays. Sure, every
game. Yeah, they made a couple every game. I think the Oakland A's have just tied it up. 7-7, three-run jack as we speak. Unbelievable stuff right here. Maybe they're not going quietly. Yeah, there's Dusty in his mask. He's social distancing right now. But anyway, I will say this. Ian Anderson, let's talk about the Braves too, Gabe. Shutouts in 3 of the last 4 games. They're pitching. It wasn't just the Reds, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Braves pitching. Freed's been great. Ian Anderson, lead singer Jethro Tull's been on fire. All these guys too. Just enough hits. Think about this. When your big hitters go 0 for 8 and Acuna goes 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts and you win a game, you're doing something right. This Braves team, Gabe, they're playing great baseball right now. And I have one regret, even though the Dodgers are probably still going to represent the NL. They were 12-1 at the start of the playoffs. That's a good number.
I always thought the Atlanta Braves were the second best team in the National League.
Yes.
I think it'll be end up being the Braves and the Dodgers. But the Dodgers still have some work to do. And so do the Atlanta Braves. Let's not forget they are from Atlanta. The second we call out the Oakland Athletics for being gutless, yeah, they tied a baseball game. So maybe I should just shut up right now, but we can't because we're on the air for the next 3 hours. 7-7. Another over, though, Ken.
I'm on. You know what, Gabe? Baseball's actually been good. Good kudos to you and me. We got that Rays game was a sweat job last night, but we move on forward today. I learned my lesson, too. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be a Morenci today. I'm going to play the over in this Houston game. And I don't play sides very often, but, you know, Oakland can hit Houston. Every pitcher, Oakland's run out. The Astros have gotten all over, too. And what have we learned? Braves games to the under, Astros games to the over. The Braves have brilliant pitching, where this Astros-Oakland series, it's all about the bats, buddy.
And we've got a total posted at 9 for the Rays and the Yankees. It's Morton and Tanaka on the hill. Mm-hmm. And both those games have gone over the numbers so far as well. So sitting at 9 right now, I still think you can get there, actually. Like, as somebody that generally bets baseball unders, you know, it's like I always bet basketball overs, football overs. I'm more of a baseball under guy, but I've backed off. I lost a couple of total bets earlier in the playoffs. I've learned my lesson. I'm staying away from this stuff. These games just open up all the time. And with Tanaka got hit hard, Cam, in his last start. Now, yep. he was also very good, though, before that. So it's not automatic he's going to get hit hard tonight. But I got to believe that both these teams find a way to score more than 9 runs tonight.
Here's the thing, Gabe. I trust Morton, but how long is he going to be in there? What do the Yankees do? They take pitches. The minute Charlie Morton goes out of that game, an overworked Tampa Bay bullpen, and Cleveland's got to Tanaka as well, buddy. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great game. I lean over as well with the Rays.
San Diego and Los Angeles on top of this evening. We're breaking it all down. Shout out to our radio affiliates. I am Gable Morenci. We're kicking it with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart. LouGamblou.com. We'll step up and in and join us from the Phoenix area. And shout out to everybody tuning in right now on 1060. We're breaking it down. We got the Tampa Bay Rays and the New York Yankees on tap. We'll give you our picks. And dare I say, suddenly we are hot when it comes to betting on baseball. Last week we were foreigner, ice cold. Cold as ice, cold. Baby.
Yes.
Cold. Brr, real cold. Brr, time. Brr. Yeah, like winter cold. It's like, ooh. Yeah.
Parka cold.
All it took to shake things up. It wasn't quite the Mark Gray slump buster, but it was very illogical, Cam. If, you know, I'm not doing well betting on baseball, it made a ton of sense for me yesterday to put together a 3-team parlay, but it actually won.
Exactly.
Step by step, we got through it. The Dodgers was a big sweat job late. Man, they were getting no hit through like 4 or 5 innings. And then finally, they started to cash in and to put some runs up on the board. And another run line win for the Los Angeles Dodgers as well. We talked about it, guys, before the game last night. The Los Angeles Dodgers had beaten San Diego 6 out of 10 times that they played this year. But really, San Diego had like one good weekend earlier in the year against them. The Dodgers won 4 of the last 5 times a couple of weeks ago, and now they win again. So they're actually 7-4 in 11 games against San Diego now. But 6 of the Dodgers' 7 victories have come by 2 or more runs. They only played one-run game in when they beat them. And we noticed this trend, Cam, you know, with the run lines. They're pretty profitable. They're there. How many one-run games have there been in the playoffs? Not that many. And it's funny because I saw a prop earlier, will it go to extra innings? And I'm thinking, man, we haven't. Yeah, I think we had one. we had one playoff game so far. One of those wild card games went to extra innings because I remember thinking, well, at least they're not putting a runner on second base right now. But,
yep.
Dude, like run lines, sort of like what we talk about it with football betting, where guys, and we'll get into it on the other side, like point spreads don't really matter as much as people think they do. They're like insurance. Makes you feel good, but if there's a hurricane, they'll tell you it's not covered under your policy. So
acts of God. Acts of God.
Yeah, yeah. We'll hit this on the other side. Game Time Decisions continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabriel Lorenzo. We're kicking over to Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. We got crazy baseball going on right now. This is, we're talking about how hot we are betting baseball. The team that we're on gives up, a three-run home run? Thanks, guys. 7-7. Wait a minute. I tell you what, though. Oakland, it would not – dude, this stuff's so wild. And I'm going to throw it out there right now to someone. I don't know. Just take the Astros on the run line right now again. Like, just the improbable. You're thinking, oh, no, they're screwed. Watch. The Astros will end up winning by 4 still, Cam.
Like, yep. They'll hit 14-11
or something. Yeah, yeah. Like, these games. Like, man, I'm old enough to remember. Like, when I bet a baseball game, when we were up, like, 4-0, I'm like, oh, yeah, we got this. It's done.
Exactly.
Remember the old days? Like, John Schultz and Greg Maddux?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's 3-0. The game's over. It's done. It's like, those old days. And not everyone hit home runs in the old days either, right? So
exactly.
When it was 6-1, you're like, all right, yeah, 6-1. Now it's 6-1, and you're like, yeah, whatever, bro. Could be 1-1.
Exactly.
6-1 means nothing. It means nothing.
It means
routinely.
No.
Even in the playoffs, we're seeing they routinely put 5 spots up in these innings, man. Cooking numbers all the time. Like when the Braves were down yesterday 4-1, it felt like nothing. It wasn't like, yeah. Oh, it's 4-1. And the sports book still had him at like -135 when they were down 4-1.
Listen to this one. Listen to this one. This is when you know the sports book know the Braves were the play, okay? Usually when we do the in-game live and a team is down 4-1, you know, you see +320, plus what? The Braves were +160, +160, down 3 runs with nobody on base. I'm not talking about a leadoff double or anything. So click, click, click. You know, I've learned too, Gabe. And I remember back in the old days, you like my one of my buddies, great name, real name too, Sean Fillerup. I started gambling with Sean Fillerup. What a name this guy has.
No,
and that was the same thing. It's Fillerup. He lives in Arizona now. He's a buddy of mine. He drives truck down in Arizona.
What does
Sean,
he do
if you're listening.
Living? He drives the truck. Oh, he's in the wrong.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right.
Yeah.
He's in the wrong.
Actually, he likes to.
If your name is Sean Fillerup, like, it's one of those things you don't have a choice but to be a male porno actor. Yeah. Like, he just
or a liquor distributor, distribution manager.
See, I like how this is a look into Cam's mind, right? In which I hear Fillerup and I think of, I'm like, damn, that's a good name for a male porn actor.
It is.
Cam
very
thinks
good.
Of like beer somehow.
Yeah, fill her up.
Fill her up. yesterday you equated Eddie Van Halen's death to Valerie Bertinelli being a good cook and having a good cooking show.
That's very, very accurate.
Went from, oh yeah, he's a great guitarist to, oh yeah, what a great cooking show she has. Went
she
right
does.
To like food. And now, I mean, come on, fill her up. I mean, that's like, that's as good as like Johnny Thrust or something. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like,
well, Johnny Thrust is Johnny Thrust. Fill her up. Yeah, no, it's good. It's very strong. It works in so many ways. Anyway, to your earlier point, I was bringing this all back to betting when we first started betting together as kids. That was the thing. It was the Atlanta Braves at a 2-run lead, and we're already high-fiving each other because you know they never pissed away those leads. But you're right, Gabe. This game, the live line, I don't know what to take. I don't know what to do. I got to give Oakland a little bit of credit because they've been a team, a lot of people are down on them. They could have tapped out in this game, and it's 7-7 right now. I don't know what bullpens. Houston, I got to hand it to these guys too. Their bullpen is much maligned. They've been fantastic, and we talked about their underrated pitching all year. The problem for the rest of the league is Houston bats woke up for the playoffs, and that's a disaster for everybody.
Well, right now, the Houston Astros at FanDuel, -1.5 or +250.
Whoa,
+250. pretty nice odds.
It's very, very juicy. Very juicy. That's nice.
As far as the number is concerned, Houston are now -150, Oakland +122. The new in-game total is 16.5 right now as they're in a seventh inning. 16.5. Oh, it just dropped to 130. Ooh, how about this? Houston Astros +1.5. Oh, it just swung to the Astros +1.5. What are they doing? That's where you got to be careful when you're clicking. Like, you know, I've been burnt like that before. Handball used to get me all the time. Handball, Ken. I swear to God. Yeah, I'll bring this true. Handball, it's like for some stupid reason. And I swear to God, I thought they did it deliberately. All right? Every sport is like under-over. Under-over. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everything's backwards with them in handball. So I've been burnt a couple of times like that. But I'm just stating, Ken, let's say you're sitting here and I just talked about, all right, I want to take the Houston Astros -1.5. I just told you it was +250. It swung after a pitch. They changed it to the Astros +1.5, -370. But in a span of like a split second, Ken. So I'm saying if you're sitting here like clicking, you can fall for that. Like, you can fall in and go, oh, my God. I didn't want that. I wanted +1. I wanted -1.5. I don't want plus. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to really be careful with live in-game betting. Because especially when you're betting a lot, you're going to make – there's going to be errors, all right? It just happens, especially if you're firing away. Now, speaking of betting a lot, the documentary Craig Carton runs tonight. I'm looking forward. Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm not going to be able to watch it live. We're going to be on the air. And plus, there's games going on that I'm going to have money on.
What's it on?
I do look forward to HBO.
Perfect. Good. I get HBO. I'm like, perfect. Great scenario. Yes.
I was going to say Showtime or HBO. One of those two, but I believe it's HBO. I believe it's HBO. And, of course, Craig Carton. Longtime New York talk show host, somebody that we worked with.
Not me, Gabe, but you did the morning show with him. I never got to meet him, but you did, and that's pretty cool, buddy. That's cool stuff.
Yeah, it's just another chapter for the book.
Exactly. I was hoping you'd call Page Punch Publishing. The thing is, when are you going to write this book? I remember I've been doing a talk show with you for almost two decades. I'm like, man, you got chapters in the book. I got to be honest with you. You got to hire somebody. Like, you're doing the show at night or whatever. You need on We're Seinfeld, one of those interns.
We're doing it to coincide with the 20th anniversary of the show.
We're
coming in on year 19 right now in a couple of months. So it's coming. I got to do it before I forget these stories, but... It was funny, after Eddie Van Halen passed away, and I'm not the only one, too. I was talking to a couple other people, and they're like, you know, I don't know what's going on, man, but I've been playing a lot of guitar recently, and there's a rock buzz in the air right now or something. So I was watching Van Halen stuff last night, and I stumbled upon White Ace Frehley wasn't invited to Last Kiss Tour. It's an interview with Ace Frehley, and I'm like, oh, how can I not watch this? Right? So... I watch, and he's exactly like you would think at this point. Like, this dude is out of it, man. And it's just, it was gold, bro. It was gold. But it was one of those deals where it made me think about the book because he plugged his book. They said, what are you up to? And he goes, oh, I'm writing part two of my book. And he started telling, like, just, you know, a little story. And I'm like, damn, this guy's book must be good. We're talking about Ace Frehley. And he basically talked about how, like, they said, like, do you... Because Kiss don't like him, and they don't trust him. And so the interviewer asked him, so why, how come, you know, you didn't get, he goes, well, you know, it's all politics and stuff like that. And he goes, they probably thought that, you know, I would quit like mid-tour or something like that because, you know, I like to do things my own way, and I've quit on them twice before. And he goes, you know, the second time I quit mid-tour, they were kind of mad. He goes, I don't think they've ever really forgiven me. And then he goes on a couple of minutes later to say, and he goes, I think a reason, too, is why my ex-girlfriend filed a lawsuit against Gene Simmons for sexual harassment and assault. And he goes, she made it up. It wasn't true. And he goes, but, you know, other than that, we're good. Yeah, he goes, I don't really know what the problem is. He goes, it's all water under the bridge. I was actually thinking, I got to get this guy's book.
This guy's awesome.
I was like, I got to get this guy's book. Like, he's really, yeah. He goes, I can't be mad at Gene Simmons. Because I can never be mad at Gene Simmons. He goes, when we were on tour, he goes, I used to share a room with him. It was Paul and Chris. And he goes, I used to share a room with him. And he goes, he saved my life once when I took too many Valium and nearly died in a bathtub.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. The Major League Baseball playoffs continue as well. 7-7 right now. We're into the eighth inning, and Oakland actually do have a runner on first base. We'll keep you up to date with this baseball game. It's been back and forth. Oakland were up 1-0, and then it was 2-1. Then it was 2-2. Then it was 3-2 for Oakland. Then it was 4-2 for Oakland. And then it was 7-4 for Houston, and now it's 7-7. It's been a roller coaster. All right. The Yankee game is coming up, too. We're going to get into that. That game is a little after 7 o'clock Eastern time. Let's bring in Lou right now. We were talking about the Phoenix area and 1060. Lou steps up and in from the desert. What's going on, Lou? How you doing?
Doing really well, guys. Great to see you for another week, and hope everybody's doing really well as well.
Oh, you know, we do as well as we can. Yeah, we get by, Lou. But obviously, we'll do better with some winners. That's, you know,
yes.
The winning is always puts. It's like they say with teams. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what your record is. You win a game, you feel good. It's like winning a bet. You win a bet, puts you in a better mood than you were than if you would have lost out of the bet. And oh boy. Yeah, Oakland really have something going on right now.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's right down the line.
Runners on second and third.
Oh, boy.
Should have bet the eighth. Third. Yeah, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Let's get down to business with Lou. Let's start off with the UFC before we get into some NFL. And, you know, this UFC card, Lou, you know, we've joked about some of the past cards. And I don't know about this fight, and I don't know about that fight, and their trickiness or, you know, the quality of the card, so to speak. But this one's pretty interesting, actually, just from, you know, you've got fighters, you know, going in different directions and meeting each other. You've got some good fighters. You've got young fighters still. You've got guys with their backs against the wall. There's a lot of different sort of dynamics to this card, and I think there should be some good fights as well. So let's jump in here, Lou. And so let's talk about the main event with Marlon Moraes and with Corey Sandhagen. What's your take on this fight? With, of course, Moraes, a guy that's been around a long time, World Series of Fighting in the old days, real badass. People always thought he was one of the best fighters not in the UFC. He's been a top guy. He's fought in everybody, you name it. You name the guy, the top contender, the champ. He's fought them, including Cejudo and everybody over and over. And then you got the youngster here that was on his way to the top, Lou, and Sterling got in his way. So we got a kid trying to get to the top, and we got an older dude trying to stay at the top and get another crack. Interesting storyline.
It is. And I'm going to give the kid that's trying to get to the top, Sandhagen, 28 years old, the younger man by 4 years. I'm going to give him as the fighter with the better upside. Moraes, this fight is everything for Marlon Moraes. And Moraes' MO is really pretty clear, because in each fight he displays it. Ferocity and fervor for 7 to maybe 8 minutes. And then after that, at a tremendous, but in cardio. And I believe those two are really tied together. As the old saying goes, you know, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And that's what happens with Moraes. However, in his last fight against a almost 40-year-old Jose Aldo, he won the fight, but Aldo fought with him and fought a good fight. I don't like what I see from Moraes. I don't regard him as a top five in the division myself, even despite what he did to Aljo. I don't regard him as such. And I believe that Sandhagen, 5 inches taller, 3 inches arm length and leg length reach advantage, 4 years the younger man, is going to, and he has a fighting style that's a little more cerebral. He's going to need space and distance to maneuver. And provided he can withstand the first 7 minutes, I see this fight as all his, especially since we're talking about Moraes, who tires in 3-round fights, and this is scheduled 5. Now, Sandhagen is giving away tremendous amounts of experience to Moraes. Moraes has fought. The Moraes arguably has the more complete arsenal moving into this. However, it's Sandhagen's youth. It's his focus, athleticism, and coming off a loss to Aljamain Sterling like he did. I love him in the bounce spot here. And he opened 150. He's now minus 130, depending on where you're shopping. And I believe there's a little value on Sandhagen coming off the loss, actually.
If you know what? If you look at the Aldo fight, too, he got the win. But did he win the fight? Probably not, right? That was one of the more egregious decisions, I think, of the year. But, you know, as you stated, on paper, his resume is very impressive. 5-1 in the last 6 fights. The only loss to Henry Cejudo, beating Dodson, beating Sterling, beating Rivera, beating his son Sal. Lost to Cejudo and then struggled against Aldo, who had a chip on his shoulder because people said, oh, Aldo shouldn't he be fighting anymore. It's a tough fight. It really is a tough fight. I understand the lean with the youth, though, here. In a bounce back spot as well, there's more pressure on Marlon in this fight too, as far as, you know, where he's going with his career right now. I'll take a shot with the kid as well, Lou. I like the momentum. I like the bounce back situation as well. Marlon's been in a lot of wars right now, but he seems to be slowing down.
You know, I to piggyback on that thought, Gabriel, the dessert to this whole thing is that Marlon left a great camp up there in New York with Frankie Edgar and Ricardo Aldameda, and now he's down in Florida in ATT. He might as well wave a red flag. To me, that's a red flag. A gym change at this stage of his career tells me he's searching.
All right, so let's get into Amirakati and Edson Barbosa. Barbosa with the weight change here. And, you know, Barbosa's been asking for his release. He's on a losing streak as it is. So it's an interesting spot here. And generally, I mean, let's just cut to the chase. I mean, he's 1-4 in his last 5 fights, and he's asking for his release. And generally when you ask for your release, Cam and Lou, as you guys know, yeah, Dana will give it to you by letting you get beat up on the way out. He'll be like, all right, you want to get released, huh? You're running your mouth? Okay. You know what? I'm going to give you this kid, and this kid's going to beat you, and then I'm going to fire you. How's that sound? So I don't know. Is that where we're going with this, Lou?
I heard him squawking a little bit before the Dan Ige fight, but I think the Ige fight quelled things a little between him and the organization. So I, in my handicapping, I'm not going to regard that as much. You mentioned the weight. Because Barboza, listen, I had Ige in that first fight. I believe I was lucky to win. I'll take the win. But the point to that fight for me was I didn't believe Barboza could transition from 155 to 145. And though he's lost all those fights you mentioned, who's he lost to? Nurmagomedov, Gaethje, they're fighting for the title. Kevin Lee, I mean, who he's lost to at 155, he's the bigger man. He's moving down and provided he makes weight again, I'm already convinced from his first performance that he's focused and really wants to do something at 145, and they give him a short notice replacement. He was scheduled to fight another Al Hassan, a powder keg of a puncher, and we got cheated in not getting that fight. In steps a Finnish grappler, Amir Khani, who really doesn't have the credentials to be in the octagon with Barboza, in my humble opinion. The only way he wins this fight is somehow or another to take Barboza's back. I can't see it happening. Barboza's a decorated BJJ practitioner. And on the feet, Amir Khani will be giving away so much. I looked at inside the distance for Barboza's a plus 115. Provided he makes weight, looks good, that's probably the approach I would take in this fight.
And we talked about it earlier about I thought Jose Aldo got screwed. So did Dana White after the fact. And Barboza, as you talked about that fight against Ige, I was on Ige as well. Yet, as you stated, we got lucky. Right? We got lucky. As Joey Odessa says, because I used to really cry, oh, I got screwed. I can't believe it.
Yep.
Joey says, yeah, you'll also win where, you know, you didn't deserve it. Goes both ways. And if you bet enough in MMA and the UFC, it does. And, you know, I don't get as upset about this stuff anymore. And I've actually been a benefactor of a couple of, I might get lucky. And then I do. But just for the record, guys, if you remember Cam and Lou, Barboza was livid after that fight. Like, some guys are mad and they'll storm out of the cage. This is garbage or whatever, BS. No, I don't know if you guys remember. He wanted it overturned. He wanted, like, an investigation. Like, he was like, I didn't lose. This is garbage. Yep. What's the point of fighting? And, like he was, like, beside himself about this one. He wanted it overturned. And they were like, dude, it doesn't happen that way. It's not happening. You got to live with this. So he will have a chip on his shoulder. And it's a good point, Lou, as well. Even if he wants out and, you know, he thinks Bellator is going to give him money or whatever, it's better that he looks good. You know what I'm saying? It's better with some wins here. And I think they want to keep him as well. Otherwise, they wouldn't have, you know, it's an opponent he can win. All right, we're getting to the Ben Rothwell and Tybura fight. We'll also get in. Yeah, Ben Rothwell.
Amazing.
He's my Atlanta Falcons. He's my Houston Rockets. I can't pick a winner in that fight, guys.
I like Rothwell.
I don't know if there's a fighter in UFC history that I've been wrong about. I never know what I'm going to get with this guy. I take him and he breaks his hand in the first round. I bet against him and he knocks you out. Like, I can't win.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The tribute to Van Halen continues. Great stuff.
Yes,
I got a bad, so bad. I'm off with teacher. You know, the thing about Van Halen, it's not just Eddie, like the drum sound.
I know.
Backup vocals. Exactly. David Lee Roth. It's like a cocktail.
Everybody.
It's the ingredients. Eddie was Eddie Van Halen, but it doesn't work without him. Like, it's not the same. It really is like, you know, just that voice. And you know what's crazy, too? David Lee Roth can't sing. and I say this to someone that loves him, he can't sing. Like, it's actually, like, it's bad now. Like, when he plays live, and I know people that love him that said, yeah, yeah, like, the whole show is just him. Let me hear you. And he puts the mic, and he can't do it anymore. Yeah. But his voice, when he was in his prime, just that, oh, yeah, hey. Oh,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was just
the best. Yeah, no,
it's like chocolate and peanut, but it's like pizza and beer. You know what I mean? There's certain things, weed and rolling papers. Like, there's certain things, like, when people talk about, like, the greatest invention since sliced bread, whatever, dude.
Sliced bread. I agree. I hate that expression.
There's better inventions than sliced bread. His name is Eddie Van Halen.
Yes, get a knife. I slice my own bread. Like, give me a break. Never really like that expression.
Yeah, break the bread up. But, dude, it's great.
I tear mine.
Yes,
during the break, there was a quick little music conversation, and God bless Lou. Lou goes, I kind of missed all that classic rock and all that stuff. But he goes, I like that guy from Nirvana. What, the Goo Goo Dolls or the Foo Foo Dolls?
Can rock.
Yeah, he can. Bro, ultra talented. Nice guy, too. Very nice guy. Like, but what, you know what I mean? And he's the type of dude, he never really changed either. He didn't become a mega jerk. I'm not buddies with him or anything. But I did know him before he was rich. And he used to be in a band called Scream, but nevertheless. All right, so I was talking about Ben Rothwell. And if I looked at Ben Rothwell here, I'll go through his fights. I'll tell you, I was wrong. I've had a problem with this guy over the years.
We won the OSP fight when he beat OSP. We were on Rothwell. I remember.
No.
Yes, we were.
Oh, I wasn't.
So, okay.
maybe you were. Good for you.
Okay. Yeah, I like Ben.
Rothwell's tough. I was on OSP because I remember I was so disappointed in OSP. Remember, Lou, we were disappointed in his heavyweight performance. He was all slow and everything. So, and then whatever. He beat Stefan Struve, but man, you know. It's just he's done. Then he lost three in a row before that. What do you make of this one, Lou? I'll tell you what. If you guys want to bet a heavyweight, do we have a total for this yet? Because this is a heavyweight fight that could go the distance, guys.
Yes.
Give me the over, Lou.
Two and a half over minus 150.
Oh, give me the over, brother. Give me the over. I love like when Lou gets serious and you got your glasses.
Yeah, with the glasses? That's when he's ready to break it. That's when he's breaking it down.
I tend to agree with Gabriel. When I was hoping they were going to give me a 1.5, and I was going to jump on it like a fumble in the Super Bowl. But 2.5 is the right number.
Tell that to Cam Newton.
I see a couple of big bodies here that are going to lay on each other after a while. However, I believe Rothwell is the more complete fighter. He surely got the experience, and I think Tybura has only one way to try and win this fight, and that's to push Rothwell against the fence and try and fight him dirty or take him down. And Rothwell's got the more complete wrestling arsenal. So I don't like to, you know, side with favorites often. I don't think that you can get out of taking a look at Ben Rothwell at minus 170 or 175, wherever he is. I tried to get cute, see what inside the distance is, but I don't believe that this is an inside the distance fight. I think this is a one-sided lean upon where Rothwell leans upon Tybura more than Tybura leans upon Rothwell.
Yeah, this is the type of fight Rothwell wins. Rothwell will suck for like two or three fights. Then he'll win a few. Yeah. Then he'll lose a few. It's just what he does to hang around.
What a hand
tough guy. Oh, yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah,
he's that guy in the bar that comes out there and will beat the crap out of you in the parking lot. Like, I look at Ben Rothwell, like, he's tough, Gabe. And he's been doing this
that
stuff for a long time.
Throw me through a wall. Like, he can pick me up and throw me through a wall. Like, if he punched, like, it'd be a bad time.
You call me Brock Lesnar. Ben Rothwell would take my neck and put me through. Yeah, exactly. Put me
Even if they give me a hockey stick or a baseball bat, I'd club him over the head.
Yeah,
I'd
he'd be laugh lucky at you.
If he blinked, I'd be lucky. And then what do you do? Yeah.
He goes, now you're
I've
dead.
I've said that before, too. I got into an argument. I said, God, I said, I wouldn't fight that guy with an aluminum baseball bat. They're like, oh, I'd be all right with a bat. Yeah. I'm like, you're kidding. You're crazy. You're just going to piss them off. Imagine like fighting like Nick Diaz with a bat. You're going to lose the bat within a minute. It's like pulling a gun. And now you're going to have to a lot of trouble.
And then you're going to have to pull it out of somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your ear, whatever.
Yeah, lots of places.
It's crazy, though, guys. It doesn't happen as much anymore, but it used to happen in the old days. I used to see it. I used to go out with Heath Herring, and people would chirp, man, and other fighters. I'd be in a bar with Phil Baroni. Some guys want to fight with Phil Baroni. It's like, why? Exactly. Why? Oh, I saw you lose in a UFC. I could beat you. It's like, really?
You really
want to fight with Phil Baroni in a bar? Like, is this really going to end well for you, bro? And it's tough for the fighter. Because if he beats the living crap out of you, then he's on ESPN and he threw some loser through a window in a bar.
He's also arrested. You know what I mean? These guys got to write waivers. Yeah. They're professional killers. Their hands are and feet are weapons. They can't.
Oh, yeah. Some judges can come down hard, too. Oh, you should have known better. You're a fighter. You can't have done that to them. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. If you're a fighter, don't beat anyone up in Vegas. Like, the Vegas judges are hardcore on that stuff. They will use that, oh, your hands were a deadly weapon crap. That's the stupidest
thing
ever. But anyways, all right, before we get into some football here, anything on the undercard that we're missing out on here?
Yeah, there's a middleweight fight coming up. This was scheduled a week ago. Tom Breeze, big, tall, erect, strong English fighter, just like English fighters are, mostly stand up and tall and straight. But he's chiseled and he looks the part. He has been unusually inactive over the course of his whole career, and it's because he struggles so mightily, unfortunately, with his mental preparation before fights. He sometimes gets so anxious that a fight or two has been called off in his past, and he battles that. For that reason, it's hard to try and trust a guy going into the octagon that's going to give that if you know, because I look for a guy giving me 110% effort, and I can't trust I'm ever going to get that from Tom Breeze. Now, this fight was scheduled for a week ago, and who fights out of the Tanner Boser camp, an up-and-coming camp. And if you're training against Boser, you're getting, you know, it's like training with Gaethje. You're getting training. And so this is a big, huge, tall, long debuting fighter who's been working the regional circuit and hungry to get in against a guy in Breeze that I don't know what he's coming with as well. The week delay from last week to this week almost doubles the time for the Canadian young man, Boulard, to be able to prepare for Breeze, and it gives Breeze another whole week to think about fighting this kid. All the way around, this fight opened before a week ago, minus 175 Breeze. Now it's up in the two-somethings. It's too high. I'm going to take Boulard as a live dog, plus 210, plus 215, again, depending on where you're shopping.
I really like where you're going with this. As you stated, he trades with Tanner Boser. Thing with this kid, he's hungry. You know, you want a hungry fighter, and you're going to get a hungry fighter. I'm seeing a feature on him here right now. Started training Taekwondo at age of 14. Started MMA when he was 16. Turned pro in 2012. His brother was badly injured in a match, fracturing bones in his face. said it scared him. I don't like hearing this. Said it left a bad taste in my mouth. I took some time off the sport, did some soul searching, but now I'm back into it, ready to go. Yeah, you know what? I think he's alive. I think you're onto something here in a big way, Lou. I like where you're going with this. All right, so let's get into some football before we get you out of here. We only got a couple of minutes. I don't know what's up with all this line movement here. Tampa Bay Buccaneers now 3.5 against the Chicago Bears. Thursday night football. Yeah, the Bucs always have injuries, though. But the Bears know.
It's significant, Gabe.
Yeah, you're talking about Mike Evans, Leonard Fournette, Godwin, Shady McCoy, and Sue. I mean, you got some guys out. It's a short week. They go to Chicago.
And the other receiver, too. Like, it's insane. Like, Gabe, like everybody. Yeah. Like, Mike Evans is questionable. Like, if Mike Evans doesn't play, that's Godwin and Evans. And their third string receiver, the possession receiver, he's questionable as well. Yeah, Miller. Exactly. Scotty, yes.
Scotty Miller. Meanwhile, the Bears have a couple safeties that are dinged up a little. I mean, it was going to be really the passing game won't affect. I shouldn't say this. The plan of approach for Tampa is going to be to run the ball and take their seventh-ranked rushing attack against Chicago's relatively porous 16th-ranked rushing defense. This look-ahead line was Tampa Bay 3, and then it got to 5.5 when Tampa Bay won this week, and it's all these injuries that have brought it down. I was able to get 5.5, and if you did, you're ahead of the market. If not, right now, I would say you probably got a pass because the value sucked out of Chicago back to 3.
It'll be interesting to see how – listen, Chicago's offense was putrid, absolutely yep. putrid against the Indianapolis Colts. And Nick Foles isn't good. So, you know, they can pretend all they want. They can do this little quarterback shuffle back and forth. I get it. We'll see. You know, I wish we had the doctor on now. We'll have him on tomorrow night before the game. And you're right. One thing, though, guys, one thing that we should know, remember the other night with the Green Bay Packers? He's got no mm-hmm. wide receivers. He's got no one to throw the football to. They're going to run the ball all night. Yeah, he threw for, like, you know, 300 and whatever yards, 4 touchdown passes. Right, I'll just throw three touchdown passes to this tight end nobody's ever heard of before. So it really is amazing. But I know the Bucs offense has just been so – it's amazing how many injuries these guys have had. And yeah. actually the fact that they've still only lost one football game. You know, and props to Cam. And good job, Cam. Listen, you were pro-Colt. I was anti-Colt. And there's still a lot of football left to be played.
There's a lot of football left.
Yeah, but I got to give credit to them. 3-1 after losing the first football game. Of the year. Lou, what's your take on this this Colts team right now? Phillip Rivers, that was an impressive win going on the road and getting it done against the Chicago Bears. But what's your take on the Colts now?
My take on the Colts is that it's between them and Tennessee in the division. At the beginning of the year, I would have told you that how much more complete I believe Tennessee is than Indianapolis. And now we know why, because they've been cheating and having team meetings and practices behind closed doors when everyone else has not, and that doesn't sit well with me. I'm not completely convinced that Indy's defense is as good as it's showing so far this year, statistically based on who they've played, but that'll end up working itself out as we go. I think they're going to get this will be a very interesting test
this
week.
We got to get out of here, Cleveland.
I like Cleveland.
You know, it's crazy. The Browns, if they win, it'll be 4-1. Thanks, Lou.
Yep. Thanks, Lou.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right now. The A's are up by 2. It's 9-7 for the Oakland Athletics. So we're on the clock. We've got the New York Yankees that coming up. We'll have time to hit this on in-game live as we transition on the other side of the hour here. But I'm already in on this baseball game, guys.
I parlayed
Rays with the Atlanta Braves.
Yes,
and, you know,
I do too.
Three-team, good stuff. So we hit the three-team banger yesterday. Hoping for the two-team banger today, and we'll take it. The two-team parlay still pays pretty nicely. Big series here, man, and, you know, between Tampa and the Yankees, there's bad blood between these two teams, and this, I don't know, the winner of this game, you could argue, is going to win the series. If you're the Yankees,
I'm gonna tell you
up 2-1, you've got Cole coming up again. You're in a pretty good spot right now. If you're the Yankees and you lose this game, you're kind of screwed. You can only pitch Cole one more time. Tampa's in your head. Tampa own you. Tampa's now, they're 8-3 now in the 11 games that they played this year. Do you trust Tanaka tonight?
No, I don't. Cleveland's a light hitting team in comparison to Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay got Cleveland got to Tanaka. Tanaka, when he leaves hangers up, they get hit a lot. And Gabe, the Yankees aren't the only team that hit home runs. Have you not seen the Rays? We watched the game last night. Dinger, 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 dinger. They do a lot of things well. They can play small ball and nickel and dime you with singles and doubles, and they can play long ball. Tanaka, if his stuff is not perfect tonight, he will get rocked. I will say this. Morton is a better pitcher than Tanaka at this point. The Yankees will take pitches and try to get him out of the game. But I like the Tampa Bay Rays in this spot. I bet it. It's in all my round robins. Let's rock. We're getting the dog at a good price. I like Tampa.
It's a good point that you raise as far as Tampa. I mean, listen, I don't think Tanaka is going to give up six runs. He gave up six runs against Cleveland. Yeah. It was uncharacteristic of him. He's actually been pretty good this year. But I think Tampa can do enough. Score three, four runs on them.
Yep.
And, you know, Tampa just put the ball in play. We talk about it. People don't talk about defense enough in baseball, but Yankees don't play good defense. I like the Rays tonight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.